Chapter 17. Owen.
"This way,"
grunts one of the Nightingale guards, gesturing down a cluttered street toward a tenement building of dull clay bricks. Zara walks beside me, her expression troubled, along with an unusually somber Talon and a dour-looking Relose. Nightingale soldiers, armored in chainmail and wielding heavy clubs, flank us as we leave the citadel, their eyes brimming with hatred whenever they are forced to look upon us. The meeting with the traitorous Protector had gone just about as well as I expected. The man seemed unwilling to work with agents of Tarsinium, even in the face of certain destruction. Even more infuriating, he seemed more than willing to turn us into his prisoners, ordering us locked inside this tomb of a city. "Like blasted Nightingales," I think bitterly as we approach the building's entrance. "Their rebellion won't be worth anything when the demons come knocking on their great stone doors." The guard leading us thumps on the front door with the butt of his cudgel, prompting a man within to push it open. We follow him inside a wide, sparsely furnished common room, already filled with King Aethelgar's soldiers. They perk up as soon as they see Relose enter.
"These'll be your quarters while in Dunmar City," the guard says in a rough voice. "It's heavily guarded, so don't even think about trying to slip out. Protector Thel has granted you limited access to the city. If you decide to leave this place, be sure to let us know. If you're found wandering around the city alone, you will be killed."
He says the words in such a way as to imply that he would enjoy killing us if given the opportunity. Looking our group over with one final sneer, he turns and exits the building, shutting the door behind him. Aethelgar's soldiers surge forward and begin pestering Relose with questions. He quiets them down and begins grimly answering them one at a time. Glancing at one another, Zara, Talon, and I slip to the back of the room, sitting down on some chairs that have been arranged in one of the corners.
"Well," Talon says after taking a seat, some of his brashness returning, "that could have gone better."
Zara raises an eyebrow at him.
"How do you mean?"
Talon leans back in his seat, running a hand through his unruly black hair.
"I mean that the Nightingale Protector didn't seem interested in any sort of alliance. The only bright side is that he didn't immediately execute us for coming here."
"On the contrary," Zara replies thoughtfully, "I think that despite everything, things went rather well. Better than we could have expected."
Talon rolls his eyes.
"Please enlighten us, Magus."
Ignoring his rudeness, she elaborates.
"Owen, remember when we were captured by the Nightingales in the Emberwood? General Pike gave us a similar treatment before they eventually agreed to help us defend Forest Hill."
"Yes," I reply, nodding. "I remember."
"The Nightingales have every right to be wary," she continues, her hand going up as if to fidget with the talisman around her neck, then falling when she realizes that it isn't there. "They've been at war with the Crown for generations. The fact that they are taking the time to consider King Aethelgar's offer bodes well for us. At least I think it does. With time, I have a feeling that they will agree to our terms. The R'hllar are simply too big a threat to ignore. Besides, why else would they put us up in a place like this? The fact that we're not rotting in some dungeon means that Protector Thel is willing to treat with us as emissaries, not enemies."
"I hope you're right," Talon mutters, glancing around the room. "For all our sakes."
The soldiers and Relose seem to be arguing about something on the other side of the common room, their heads close together as they speak in hushed voices. Light emanates from several candle sconces on the walls, giving the room a dim, flickering appearance, and dust motes float in the air around us, indicating that this building hasn't seen much use. In fact, the whole structure has a grimy cast to it, with stained walls and filthy floors that look like they haven't seen a broom in years. I look back to find Talon and Zara staring at me, apprehension weighing heavily on their expressions.
"What?"
I ask defensively. The two glance at each other before Talon speaks up.
"It's nothing, mate," he replies, shifting uncomfortably. "It's just that, with your past and everything, and what's going on between you and Elias, We're just worried about you being stuck here in the middle of a Nightingale city.
Zara nods in agreement.
You do seem a little on edge.
I shrug.
It really isn't a big deal, I reply, attempting to sound unbothered by the whole thing. I've been behind enemy lines plenty of times. You don't have to worry about me.
That's just it, Zara says. You just said behind enemy lines. You do realize that our whole purpose here is to make these people our allies, don't you?
I open my mouth to reply, but the words die on my tongue.
You've got a pretty big chip on your shoulder, mate, Talon agrees. I don't like the idea of working with these people any more than you do, but they're all we have. Fighting that Gorgon in the Ashwood terrified me. I'd overcome any prejudice if it meant I'd have more backup when those things return.
I look at each of them in turn, unsure of what to say. Do they really not trust me after all we've been through? I fought beside the Nightingales during the Battle of Forest Hill and defended them in the Ashwood when the Master Warden ordered their extermination. Finally, I lean forward, resting my elbows on my knees. My frown deepens and my shoulders slump.
I won't do anything stupid, I reply, deflating somewhat. I promise. It's not like I have any weapons to use anyway.
This seems to satisfy them somewhat, but I can see that Zara still looks uneasy.
That's good, she says, her hand once again straying to where her talisman should be. But I think you should consider speaking with Elias. He's worried about you and he...
I know, I reply, cutting her off. I overheard you the other night when you were talking with him at the inn.
She stiffens, but I make a placating gesture, attempting to put her at ease.
Don't worry, I say, softening my expression. I'm not angry with you. I'll talk with Elias eventually, on my own time. I still need to work a few things out in my head first.
She relaxes visibly, apparently relieved that I'm not displeased with her. She gives me a small smile, and the energy between the three of us seems to lighten and become more positive. The muscles in my face relax as well, and I find the tension in my shoulders easing as I stare into her eyes. Talon coughs, which causes both of us to look at him.
Anyway, he says, looking a little annoyed, we need to figure out what our next move is. What do we need to do in order to complete this mission?
I imagine, Zara replies, there is only one thing we can do. Wait and hope that Elias will be able to convince the Protector to work with us.
He sighs.
I hate waiting around.
He looks over at me and gives me a hopeful look.
Maybe tomorrow the two of us can do some training. Anything to make the time pass.
Sure, I reply, still trying to sort through my thoughts. Maybe it'll be good to do some sparring with Talon. I usually think the clearest when I'm working anyway.
We go into talking about Dunmar City, discussing its strange and unnerving underground construction. Zara brings up how she's looking forward to exploring the city in depth, and that she suspects there are mages among the Nightingales, something both Talon and I find surprising. Eventually, everyone starts to filter upstairs. Walking along a dank, musty hallway, we find multiple bedrooms have been sparsely prepared for us. Like the other buildings in Dunmar City, the structure has been built from wooden beams held together with hardened clay, and the roof is constructed from woven thatch, also slathered liberally with the same brownish clay. The windows are all sealed shut, with thick iron bars driven into the wood of the surrounding frames, no doubt to prevent us from possibly escaping. Bedrolls are laid out on the dusty floor, and each room contains a bowl of dried fruit, a loaf of bread, and a pitcher of room-temperature water. Talon and I choose a bedroom near the back of the house, and Zara takes the one right next to ours. Setting our things down beside the bedrolls, we settle down on the floor to eat. We eat mostly in silence, munching by the low light of a dripping candle in the far corner of the room. When we finish, we ready ourselves for bed, stripping out of our ranger cloaks and climbing into our bedrolls on the floor. Surprisingly, sleep finds me fairly easily, the darkness overcoming my mind and carrying me into a quiet rest.
No dreams haunt me, and my body becomes comfortably numb. A restfulness I've not encountered in days finally envelops me like a warm blanket. Sometime in the middle of the night, I find myself blinking awake, feeling the need to relieve myself. Getting out of my warm bedroll, I stumble around the darkened room, searching for the chamber pot, which I eventually find on the other side near the door. When I finish, I pull up my trousers and begin making my way back to my bedroll. However, as I step away from the chamber pot, I can hear voices talking just outside in the hallway. Frowning, I creep over to the door and press my ear against it, straining to hear who is speaking on the other side. I recognize one of the speakers as Rollo's, his haughty, refined voice distinctive even through the thick wood of the door. The other one, much gruffer than the first, is likely one of the soldiers. It sounds like they're arguing.
"Need to continue with the plan," Rollo's says, his voice urgent but hushed. "The king will be awaiting our report."
The other voice is more muffled. I can only make out some of the words that he's saying.
"Have to be careful. Rebels are suspicious of us, watching us closely."
Rollo's scoffs.
"King Aethelgar is not a patient man," he whispers. "He will not be pleased if we're forced to stay here long."
"The mission complete. We cannot afford discovered."
"Dev, my good man," Rollo's replies in a placating tone, "you worry too much. Just like always, I have a plan."
The sound of boots scraping on wood fills my ears as the two depart from their place in the hall, their voices trailing away and becoming indistinct. I wait there for a moment, trying to force my still-sleepy mind to process what I'd just overheard. Rollo's is planning something with the king's soldiers, I think, running a hand through my hair.
11 hells! What are they up to?
After a few minutes, I return to my bedroll, still concerned about their hushed conversation. When I nestle back into my blankets, though, my head hitting the pillow, sleep swiftly overtakes me.